God's Revolution, a series in 12 parts by Don Taylor, with Bernard Hepton as Cromwell and Nigel Anthony as Fairfax. Part 10, England's New Chains. Gerard Winstanley plans to dig the common land and live there with his followers in equality and love. At the end of one of his meetings, a young woman asks to join his band. Her name is Betty, wife of John Church. Meanwhile, plans to bring the king to trial go ahead. Fairfax makes a last desperate attempt to do a deal with him, but is frustrated by the king's stubbornness. England's New Chains.
Is the king on the scaffold?
2:10 he went up, nearly 5 minutes ago.
He's speaking to the crowd.
They can't hear him. I've drawn up the soldiers round the scaffold 10 ranks deep.
I've just come across from Harrison's room. Fairfax is through with him. They've been praying together since 10.
Why don't we close the windows, Oliver? It's freezing.
No, the body must be brought in at once.
Well, it won't be much longer.
Does Fairfax know?
I don't think so.
You would imagine he might have guessed.
Prayer is prayer, Edmund. Because it is serving our present purpose, it doesn't mean it's any the less acceptable to the Lord.
Indeed not.
He's finished his speech. He's talking to Bishop Judson.
Nothing happening? No sign of movement?
Still as the grave. I've never seen so many thousands of people so silent.
Colonel Reynolds, come over here.
Sir.
You're quite sure? If a troop of horse charged hard from St. Martin's Lane...
Sir, I am absolutely certain. It is no secret that he wants to save the king's life. But he decided that it could only be done by persuasion and prayer. He is a great soldier, sir. If he wanted to do it, he would have done it.
Yes, that's true.
I have been with him, sir. He is an honest man.
He's moving across towards the block.
He knew it would mean bloodshed, and his conscience would not let him do it.
Fairfax is a man peculiarly dear to the Lord. I love him for it, even though in this matter we must disagree. Pray, Colonel Reynolds, pray for guidance.
He's kneeling.
Dear Lord, you have guided our footsteps all this way. Be with us now in this supreme hour of your triumph.
The act is up.
And take pity on all the actors of this necessary tragedy.
Behold the head of the traitor!
We've done it, gentlemen. Praise the Lord. We've done it.
I was on guard with a mounted troop bet not 200 feet away. I will never forget the sound that swept round the crowd as the axe fell. You could call it a groan of anguish. The loss of innocence of a child becoming a man. Or the shudder of a nation becoming free. For many of us there, it was a day of great triumph and rejoicing. No man has ever betrayed a nation or deserved death for it more than he did. And now that he is gone, there is some chance that the just and godly republic we have dreamt of and fought for all these years will become sober fact. New Jerusalem in the fields of England. But the sound of that groan tells me very plainly that we must build our Jerusalem and build it quickly, before that dead man's blood rises up out of his severed neck and chokes us all.
You deceive me, Oliver. Openly and knowingly, it was a plot between Harrison and yourself to keep me in ignorance and out of the way. I shall never, as long as I live, forget walking down that corridor and seeing the king's body carried past me when I didn't even know he'd left his chamber.
Prayer was needful, Tom. Many others were at that meeting.
I had no idea the matter was decided. I understood it was still in doubt.
The scaffold was built, Tom. The crowd were there. The soldiers were in position.
But we hadn't murdered a king. The house was still in session, and I was praying for guidance. I made it quite clear from the beginning that you could never have my support.
Did you not trust me?
After all this time, did you really think I would shed more blood?
No, not really.
Dear Jesus.
We could allow no shadow of a chance. What if you'd walked out onto the scaffold and denounced us?
I thought of that. But no man can see beyond such an action, and I didn't dare.
You must forgive me. We're all in need of much forgiveness. and will need much more yet. Will you come to the officers' meeting? We need you more than ever.
Certainly I will. But I am no longer with you, Oliver. Be quite clear about that.
What does that mean?
I won't lay down this burden with the nation and God's people in such danger. I will play my full part in the army and the state. But my support for our actions died this morning. As soon as I judge it safe to do so, I shall leave the army and go home.
Tom.
I am adamant, Oliver.
I was about to say that I fear you will be with us for some time yet.
Yes. I fear I may.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. I said as much in my pamphlet before he died, and I'll say it again now.
It was an act of the supremest justice, and future ages will honor us for it, as they honor Brutus for killing Caesar.
Understand me, Captain
Bray. It had to happen. You couldn't find 10 men a regiment who weren't rejoicing that the tyrant was dead.
I had no love for the king. I wished him punished as well as the next man, but I wished him punished according to the law. If an illegal court can be set up to try the king, what chance do I have? Or you? Or any soldier among us who yelled for his blood.
Power makes law. You said so yourself at Putney.
Got thrown out of the council for my pains. And they haven't forgiven me for it yet.
Why'd you say that?
Oh, I've been acting Lieutenant Colonel since August when Colwell was killed, and I'm still Major White. And likely to stay that way.
Reynolds' promotion's confirmed?
Yes, he told me yesterday. He's a good man. He deserves it.
Will he be here?
As soon as the meeting's over.
And is he with us or not?
Of course he's with us. No man more so.
He's hardly made himself conspicuous in the cause.
Right. That's not his way. But his regiment was full of levellers and Republicans, and a good many of them are going with him to his new command. Someone's coming up the stairs.
Thompson and Lockyer.
Good, I was expecting them. Come in, gentlemen. And shut the door behind you.
We're just in Whitehall.
The meeting is taking place in Harrison's chambers.
The rumours are true. There's no officer invited below the rank of colonel. One or two of our angry captains tried to get in, but they were turned away at the door.
Good job Reynolds is in.
Well, the monarchy is abolished. The lords are abolished.
He's the only senior officer we have now, Rainsborough's death.
And it looks as though we're all going to be abolished, except for Ireton and Cromwell.
I don't understand what Cromwell's up to. He promised us the agreement of the people, and now...
It was just a tactic to keep us all quiet. Isn't that obvious?
Whatever they say, their actions are clear enough. They call a council, and none of the soldiers are invited.
What can they do without us? What use are generals without an army? Who is it?
Reynolds.
He's soon back.
Who have you got in
there? The White, Ayres, Lockyer, all friends.
We must all learn not to come into our room before we know we can trust those inside it.
What do you mean by that?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What happened?
You got in safely.
Yes, I got in, and I've never been so frightened. Not at Naseby, even at Bridgewater.
Frightened?
What do you mean? They mean to destroy us.
Destroy us?
What happened? There are about 40 or 50, I suppose, all squeezed into Harrison's rooms, sitting on window seats and benches, even on the floor. All senior officers.
Get to the point. What happened?
Houston had obviously been briefed what to say. He complained that he used to be a soldier, the commander of a regiment, but now he spent all his time listening to petitions from the ranks for back pay, for elected councils, and who knows what else. But he was still an officer, and while he remained one, he intended to give orders, not to take them.
Houston's a pig.
And then Cromwell spoke.
And what did he say?
He said he had heard of the presence of agents from London preaching discontent among the troops and of certain officers of the army and other cashiered persons.
Now, that's me.
And my brother.
Whose actions were most displeasing to God and a matter of great concern to the state. Then Ireton got up and spoke in his lawyer's voice, dry as sandpaper and so precise you could cut cheese with it. He announced that from now on, private meetings between officers and soldiers are to be forbidden.
What? Forbidden? Haven't they forbidden?
Quiet. That the presenting of petitions to Parliament by soldiers is also to be forbidden, except petitions presented through and by the officers.
Oh, much you shall be.
And that soldiers or private citizens who seek to breed discontent in the army are to be punished by martial law, the punishment, of course, being death.
Do they dare?
If you'd been in that room, you'd know they dare. After Ireton had finished, Houston called out, "Why bother with all this law? We know who these men are. I can hang 20 of them while the magistrate hangs one." And there was such a shout from all those saints and men of Zion, I thought the roof would come off. So I left as soon as I could.
Well, have we any freedom left? It's as bad as in the king's time.
What are we going to do? Buckle under?
Never! Not after so long!
The first thing's to see Lilburn.
Lilburn's a broken reed. He walked out of the Whitehall negotiations before Christmas and went back home to Durham. No one's seen him since.
No, you're out of date. He's back for nearly a week.
Well, he's not the old Lilburn, is he? No one had any doubt when he was in town.
Nevertheless, I think we'd better see him as soon as possible.
Whoever we see and whatever we do, let's get one thing clear. Secrecy, after what I heard this afternoon, is essential. I don't want to go in front of a firing squad.
John, can I come in?
Yeah.
6 o'clock.
I heard the bell.
The officers will be here at any moment.
Oh, yes. I better get dressed.
Your candle's nearly in snuff. What time did you get up?
About three, I think. Oh, I need a clean shirt.
Yeah. This one's fresh.
Lavender.
The chest. What are you writing so furiously?
A pamphlet.
I thought they'd banned unlicensed printing again.
Yes, I have. Never trust anyone who takes away the liberty of the word. I don't trust them anyway.
Does it mean prison again?
Dear Lizzie, I don't know. I have a good hope not.
I really thought you meant it this time. That you were finished with it all. We could begin to live as other families now.
Oh, believe me, my love, I thought so too. I felt tired out like an old weather-beaten ship fit for nothing but harbour. It's what I want most of all. That's why I went home, to settle my debts and consider my prospects.
But
I'm not immune to new sheets and political events happen. I can't shut my ears and close my eyes forever. If I do, why have I suffered so much over all these years? What did I go to prison for? If we lose everything now without a struggle...
Even with a struggle, we'll probably lose. We always do, as a family, I mean. As a family, we'll lose everything.
Oh, my dear, long-suffering Lizzie, what can I say to you? Only that when God speaks to a man's conscience, he must listen. How could you love me if I did not? What would you be holding in your arms?
I hold the greatest man in England in my arms.
Well, what does fear matter in the end?
But I sometimes regret that God has not made you a weaker man. Plenty of good men bow their heads when the whipping begins. You always stand up straighter.
I regret it too. It would be pleasant to live quietly with my family and say nothing, or to take the bribes they regularly offer me for my silence. But a man's family is worth nothing if he hasn't the liberty to enjoy it. It is to ensure that soldiers can't march in and tear a man away from his wife and children that we endure all this. And when that happy day is here, we'll all retire to our firesides and tell stories to our grandchildren. Can you imagine the scene?
Yes, I can imagine it. But in sober truth, will it ever come to pass?
That's in the Lord's hands, Lizzie. As we all are, every hour of every day. Oh, our friend's at the door.
Friends or enemies?
Takes more than a knock at the door, I tell you that.
Sir, there's some gentlemen here to see you.
How many?
3 of them, sir.
Send them up.
Shall I get you some beer and cheese for breakfast?
Oh, that'll be most welcome.
Gentlemen.
Colonel Lilburn.
Ah.
I brought Major White and Captain Bray with me. Right, you know both of them, I'm sure.
Good morning, gentlemen. You see me hard at work still for the nation's freedom?
I never see you any other way, John.
Have you had your morning draft?
Yeah, we're directly from our beds, I think.
Well, Lizzie will bring us something.
You heard about Thursday's Council of War?
Oh, very promptly. My reply is already 3 parts draft.
I thought we ought to confer for you to hear what we intend, and to hear from you too.
Well, it's no secret, and on Monday morning the world will know it. I shall present my pamphlet, England's New Chains, at the bar of the House of Commons.
Will they hear you?
I'm told they will, with great courtesy.
Will they take any notice? Or will they put it in the cellar with the agreement and all the other forgotten
promises?
Well,
that we will see. We won't leave it there, of course.
Neither will we. Our own action will follow almost at once.
What action?
A soldier's petition.
Two?
Perfect.
Ah, yes. Yes, that's good.
We've selected 5 troopers to present it, all from different regiments. Probably next Thursday, March the 1st.
Are they good men?
The best. We had a choice of hundreds, all eager to speak for freedom.
Do they know what they risk?
They know it could be death, but they're soldiers, used to that.
No officers with them.
Oh, it's good they should come from the ranks.
Captain Bray will speak for them in the council, if it comes to that.
Oh, it will, I'm sure. You're prepared too, I hope.
It won't be the first time.
Don't seek it, Captain Bray. It'll come of its own time if it's coming.
Sir?
Prison is my second home, and I tell you, there's no virtue in martyrdom.
We want supporters, not martyrs.
Certainly we do.
And we'll get them when we're seen to be in action, not just talking about it.
But we don't want any mad brain schemes, do we, gentlemen? No soldiers' adventures. We want reason and logic and law.
We are our own men, Colonel Lilburn. We come to you out of courtesy, not for orders.
You come and go as you please, Captain Bray. I speak for 50,000 Londoners and half the army. And when I want military action, I shall call for it.
John, we come here of our own volition. Because we know how important it is for us to remain united.
Unity is easy enough, provided we all speak the truth and no one makes a fool of himself. This is the biggest battle yet. The battle that's been coming these 2 years. And it can only be won by pressure. Not blood. If the swords come out and the pistols are cocked, we shall lose. We must push the High Command to the point where they must bow to our demands, because all the soldiers are with us. That's how we want it, Saffron Walden and Putney. And that's the only way we'll win now.
We came too because we must have a petition to present. And it must be written by the best pens.
By Thursday?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's too soon for me. Ask Overton to do it. He'll do it well.
Now, won't he be too scathing? You don't want to provoke them unnecessarily.
You cannot avoid provoking them, Colonel. Not even if you coo in their ears like wood doves.
You know, Colonel, we heard the silliest thing.
What?
That you were a broken reed and had given up the cause.
Gentlemen, I am the cause. When it dies, I die. And not before. Well, here's Lizzie with a beer. Shall we drink, gentlemen?
Yes.
We'll drink to the soldier's petition.
And to your England's new chains.
And may they soon be broken.
Amen.
Amen. Will! Will, hello, brother. You're going the wrong way.
I'm going the opposite way to all the riffraff. What's wrong with that?
Well, aren't you going back to the whalebone to welcome Lilburn?
Lilburn gets drunk on other people's bad breath. I prefer water.
It's a triumph, Will, a triumph. I was there. Lilburn presented the pamphlet to Parliament, and I went in with him, just behind Overton and the rest of the delegation, right up to the bar of the House. John walked in so gravely and sedately, looked round at them all, and slowly removed his hat. It was tremendous.
Did they listen?
Silently, and with the greatest respect, while he roasted them as the biggest convocation of criminals, hypocrites, and Judases ever to sit even in that house.
And then the sergeant-at-arms clapped him in chains.
No, he did not. Probably on account of the fact that there was half an army of cheering Londoners just outside the door. Afterwards, John came out on the steps, kissed his hands to them, and invited them all back to the whalebone to drink to England's freedom, which, being Londoners, they didn't need asking twice.
God save us all from the crowning of King John.
Listen, Will. Look, let's go through the court, away from all this noise. Will, you ought to be with us. Things are happening now, important things.
What things?
There's a whole group of us now, officers and men. We don't intend to lie down and be galloped over.
Who, for instance?
Oh, I daren't say.
You don't.
But if a man can't trust his own brother, Ayres, Bray, White, among others...
Ayres never does anything till it's just too late. Bray's old noise and no judgment, that's for White.
White is a good man, the hero of Chelmsford.
If White were a roll of phlegm, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could speak him. When I speak... it'll be with my own voice, and then the whole world will hear it.
But you must trust somebody. You can't do it all on your own.
Can you hear that noise?
I can hear the crowd coming back with Lilburn.
There's the real army, Brother Jim. Forget your godly regiments and their landowning officers. If you put a musket in the hands of everyone in London who had no breakfast this morning, or go to bed hungry tonight, you'll have an army no one can stop. No one on earth!
Where are they?
No more than a couple of streets away by the sound of the shouting. There must be thousands of them.
Close the case and the couple of streets are loose. Blowing them about.
This pile is ready. Let's keep copies.
These are the small ones. How many piles have you got, Penelope?
3. For Amersham, Colnbrook and...
It'll be Windsor.
Yes, Windsor. Oh, the ink's still wet. I've smudged the top copy.
One doesn't matter tomorrow, though.
I'll go back across to the printers, Lizzie, see if the next 500 are ready.
Yeah.
Very prompt.
Mistress Overton, is Mistress White with you? I need to see her urgently.
Who is it?
Colonel Reynolds.
Oh, come in, Colonel.
With your indulgence, ladies, I would like to speak to Penelope.
Yes, come through the next chamber, Colonel. There are more copies of John's pamphlet on the floor than any sane woman would wish to see in nightmares of mind where you sit.
With your permission, I shall take one.
Please do. Oh, not from that pile, though. They've been counted.
Ah.
Penelope, you take him through. Excuse us, sir. This is a kind of bedlam, but most of these must be on their way today. Come through, Colonel.
Thank you.
Were you at the house?
No, I had other business. I had to see you urgently.
About what?
Our marriage.
Well, Colonel, I don't know what to say.
These are unusual times, Penelope, and people can't stand on ceremony.
Oh, I am well aware of the nakedness of my situation. I have left my father's house with nothing and acted in a way which places me at your mercy.
Well, that should be the last of your worries. If I could, I would marry you now, tomorrow. We are both of an age, and the overturnings of these days have stood us both outside the fences people normally erect between men and women. We need nothing for our marriage but a man of God.
Is that what you've come for?
Would you agree to that?
Yes, I think I would.
It would be my dearest wish.
Would be.
But I fear it isn't possible. Well, it is possible, but not wise.
Then why have you come?
Because I need to see you.
And why did you suggest such a thing? Merely to embarrass me if you knew it was not possible.
It is possible. Don't misunderstand me. If you wish it, we shall indeed be married tomorrow.
You said it was not wise.
Yes.
Why?
For several reasons. The first is that my commission is confirmed and I am posted with my regiment to Bristol. I shall leave in about 2 weeks.
What is the second?
It is many reasons, not one. Unpredictable things are happening. There is great anger in the army, and we may be on the verge of the greatest overturning yet. I and your brother and a few others.
My brother?
We may be deeply involved in events too dangerous and secret to discover even to one's pillow companion.
I am not your pillow companion yet.
The point is, my dearest girl, if we marry now, you may see virtually nothing of me for some months, even years.
Years? Why years?
Under the greatest secrecy, the very greatest, I saw Cromwell yesterday in private. And there is certain to be an expedition to Ireland. No one knows of it yet, but at the top the matter is decided. It is as certain as that the sun will rise tomorrow. My new regiment is very likely to go.
I see.
Indeed, why else would I be posted to Bristol? If we were to marry now, I could not take you home to my father. And we could have no more than a few days together in London.
Women have been offered more attractive proposals, I think.
I am sure so, but we live as the times are. Hours are confused and dangerous with no certainty beyond the next hour.
Well, Lilburn must be back.
Are you coming down, Penelope? John's back! Yes, I'm coming.
Friends! My tongue spoke the words, but yours were the voices heard. And they cried out for freedom!
Don't just go down with the rabble. I need an answer.
What answer? I'm not sure I've been asked any.
Shall we marry tomorrow? I place the true situation before you like an honest man.
No. I don't think so.
They know now, the Parliament men, that we who have spent our blood for this country's freedom for 7 years are not satisfied with their proceedings.
When I marry you, I want to be your wife, not a camp follower.
Yes, I understand. It's a painful answer, but I think the right one. I wanted to see you to make my commitment quite clear.
Yes, you have done.
Is there a back stairway? I don't want to meet Lilburn now.
Yes, through that door. Why not?
That's one of the things I can't talk about. Goodbye, my sweet.
When do I see you again?
That is in the Lord's hands. And the fortune of war.
War? The war's over.
God willing it is. I'll let you know where I am and what I'm doing somehow. Goodbye.
Bye.
Friends! I heard this morning that the warrants are already out for my arrest. I look round at you, at the determined faces and sturdy arms of my fellow Englishmen, and I say, let them come for me!
The 5 petitioners are waiting to see you, Lord General.
Thank you, Sergeant. March them in.
March them in, Corporal.
Thank you, Sergeant. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Who is to speak for you?
I am, sir.
Then let us hear you.
Lord General Fairfax, this petition which we present speaks for many more than ourselves in the army. We are the hands and tongues of thousands of your most loyal soldiers, and we ourselves are not the least in loyalty to you or the cause.
I don't need the reminder. You are all known to me. You are Robert Ward, wounded at Naseby.
Yes, Lord General.
Thomas Watson and William Sawyer. George Gels, you were in Major Bethel's troop going up to Langport Hill.
Yes, Lord General, I was.
I never saw a more fierce action, not in the whole war. Forgive me, good fellow, your name I forget.
Simon Grant, Lord General.
Hmm. I've read your petition. I know you are all brave men. I know that you are aware that the Council has expressly forbidden petitions of this kind.
Lord General, it is every...
Be quiet, Mr. Right. Ward! You will not, therefore, be surprised when I tell you that you are all under immediate arrest.
But
Sergeant, these men are arrested. Take them away.
We shall wish to say more, General, when the time starts.
When that time comes, Mr. Ward, we shall hear you.
Prisoners, right turn, quick march. Left, right.
I think that's him. Over there by the alley.
Yes, it is. Cloaked and hatted like the murderer in a tragedy.
Major White, over here.
Major White, you have a melodramatic taste for conspiracy. To meet at 11:30.
And be late?
At Three Crane Stairs, where no one but murderers and atheists are seen at this hour of night.
It could cost all our lives to be seen together. Civilians and soldiers are forbidden to speak.
It's forbidden to publish pamphlets, too. But we don't do it by the river at midnight. What's the news?
I've been at Whitehall all day.
And?
The court-martial is to be the day after tomorrow. The chances are it will be death. Cromwell's still weighing it up.
Court-martial is illegal in time of peace. It'll be murder.
They have the power, John. You won't stop them by quoting Coke's Institute.
No, but I shall show them up for the whited sepulchres they are. I've already begun the next attack.
What's that?
Another pamphlet on England's new chains.
Well, that won't help the five soldiers, will it?
It may be that nothing can help them now. It may even be their deaths are just what we need.
We need their deaths?
Yes, Major. Some men die in battle, some out of it. It's the same fight for the same cause wherever it happens.
We should separate before the watch hears this. I'll keep you informed.
If I don't know before you.
You are here before this court-martial for the crime of treason against the Commonwealth and under threat of death. Colonel Worley is president of the court. Captain Bray will speak for you, if that should be necessary. May the Lord look into our hearts and grant us all his mercy.
Amen. Amen.
Robert Ward, stand forward. This petition of yours, this letter to the Lord General, do you stand by the opinions in it?
I do stand by them. And I wonder with what justice you can throw me into prison merely for expressing my thoughts to the General.
Where was the letter written? Who was present?
This is not the Spanish Inquisition, and the Star Chamber has been abolished in England. You asked me to give evidence against myself, which is not law, and I won't do it. I'd rather lose my life than betray my liberty.
You didn't write this, did you? It's too intelligent for a common soldier.
The paper is mine. I have set my name to it. As for intelligence, well, maybe I haven't got much. But you should remember what St. Paul said. That God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty.
And that is all you have to say?
Yes, sir.
Grant, stand forward. Do you stand by this letter?
Yes.
When did you see it first?
Before we brought it to the Lord General.
How long before?
About 2 hours.
Where? At whose house?
You have nothing to charge me with, Colonel. If you have any charge against me, put it on paper. Give me time and I'll answer it.
Yes, and the fellow who wrote that letter can write your answer too.
It is your pleasure to say so. I stand by my liberties as an Englishman, and I will say nothing more till I am charged.
Gels, do you acknowledge this paper?
I acknowledge it, and I'm proud of it too. It is a paper worthy of Christians and Englishmen.
You have proclaimed open war against the General and the Council. That is treason.
If Colonel Houston has already passed sentence, Why should I trouble myself to answer?
You do not understand the court proceedings.
This court is not legal, I understand that. You can't judge me about matters relating to the freedom of the Commonwealth by martial law.
Of course we can. You are a soldier.
I'm also a commoner of the English Republic, free to petition to redress my grievances like any other man. You stood by that principle at Saffron Walden when the Parliament was threatening to disband the army, and it was in your own interest. You can't deny it now when it's against you.
Have you anything more to say?
No.
Sawyer, I stand by the letter, and I claim my rights. That's all.
Watson!
I never wrote the letter, but I know what's in it, and I believe it's of God. You have no right to bring me before a court-martial for what God's told me to be true.
Your treason is apparent, and admitted by yourselves. Have you anything more to say before we consider sentence?
We are innocent of any crime. We have spoken our minds, which is a right God has given to Englishmen.
Take them away. Gentlemen, we must all seek God in our hearts and consider the sentence.
I say it must be death. We have published as much in our declaration. If we draw back now, we will be a laughingstock and all discipline will collapse.
But this is London. Half the army is here. Stage of public execution of 5 soldiers in front of 20,000 of their comrades, and who knows what will happen.
It seems to me we must make yet one more attempt to find an agreement.
Thomas, I've had 3 months' argument with Wildman and the rest in the Whitehall Committee. Our interests are simply opposed. Setting aside all considerations of mercy, the risk is far too great.
Mr. President, all our hearts are naturally inclined towards mercy for brave soldiers who fought well for the cause.
Brave soldiers? They are trying to destroy the army and deliver us all into anarchy.
I say our hearts are inclined towards mercy, especially in this difficult time for our newly regenerated nation, with enemies all round us, and the time drawing near when we must take an army into Ireland. I agree that there is a sticking point, but we have not reached it yet. There is still time for peace and forgiveness and love.
Mr. President, may I speak? I sit here as advocate for the prisoners.
By all means, Captain Bray.
Captain Bray, I think you can gather the feeling of the court. We are inclined toward mercy. There is no need to say more.
Forgive me, Lord General. There is every need.
You speak of a sentence. But these men have not been found guilty. They've not even been legally charged, according to the known laws of England. They have presented a paper bearing their own opinions, and for that you sit upon their lives. That is the greatest proof of the truth of their accusations. You have betrayed the engagement of June the 5th, 1647, signed at Newmarket, by you, Cromwell, and you, Fairfax.
Captain Bray.
You have failed to implement the agreement of the people, as you promised to do at Putney. You have gathered the civil and military power into the same hands so that you may arrest and sentence whom you please. You have executed the king and abolished the lords, only to set your own tyranny in their places.
Captain Bray, you are a madman! You are not fit to sit in this council! Guards, remove this man! Arrest him, I say! Get him out of here!
Who right to strike me, sir?
You, Mr. President, I propose the immediate arrest of this man. Let him be taken to prison. Let him stay there. Let him be cashiered and dismissed from the ranks of the army as a breeder of sedition and treason in the ranks. Get him out of here.
Who are you, Cromwell? Are you Nero or Caligula to condemn men at your own pleasure?
Mr. President, I would ask you to put my motion to the vote.
Those in favour?
Aye.
The Lieutenant General's motion with regard to Captain Bray is unanimously carried. We must now, gentlemen, return our minds to the question of the sentence for the 5 troopers.
Cashiered in public. Disgraced in front of the regiments.
Not death?
Not death.
Those in favour?
Aye.
The motion is unanimously carried.
Aye.
Anger, Bet. I've never felt such anger, not in all my years with the army. Those five honest troopers were brought out before men from all the regiments in London, naked except for shirts made of white sackcloth, like the penitential shirts the papists wear, and forced to ride the wooden horse. The wooden horse, Bet, is what it says, only the horse's body is made like a triangle, with a sharp angle at the top. So when you're made to sit on it, bare-bummed, the edge goes right up your arse, and it's more painful than you can imagine. They had to endure all this with cards hanging round their necks saying traitor, the army's shame and such like, and with Hewson strutting up and down, glaring at them with his one good eye.
Let all men note that these five criminals, formerly soldiers of the Commonwealth and Republic of England, have committed treasons against the state and disgraced the name of the army, so that they are here publicly dismissed from the ranks. All honour wiped from their names and public humiliation poured on their heads.
The poor devils suffered the agony and humiliation like the soldiers they are. And you could almost feel the anger bubbling like molten iron through the ranks of all the rest of us who stood there. But the soldiers had the last laugh. After the high command had left, well pleased with their morning's work, and before all the regiments were fully dismissed, into the square came a carriage. And who should get out of it but Lilburn, with five fresh suits of clothes and, of course, a speech.
Soldiers! Citizens! Friends! These five men have been publicly humiliated as traitors! But I shall call them the army's heroes! And being heroes, we intend to feast them as such! Get into the carriage, gentlemen, naked as you are, and we shall bring you back in triumph to the Whalebone, where there is a feast laid on, that you, the people of London, and Oliver Cromwell won't easily forget!
Of course, we all followed them back to the Levellers' pub. So many of us soldiers, the senior officers, couldn't do a thing about it. And what a night we had of it, Bet. God's army knows how to celebrate when a time calls.
Oh, yes, that's it!
John, you've been beside yourself. Even a victory like this isn't worth an apoplex.
What a mistake, eh? They played right into our hands. Oh, by God, little Dickie Oakland, this time we're going to beat them. This time we're going to win.
John? John, you there?
Yes.
What are you doing out in the garden in the dark?
Listening to the trees. Who's that with you?
It's me.
Go back in, Miles. Enjoy yourself.
What about you?
I share the joy as much as any man, but I can't join in.
Why not, old friend?
My wife is out there, somewhere in this dark city. I know she is.
She could be anywhere.
No, she's here. I know it. Why else should she be in Hartford if she wasn't on her way to London?
Ah, you should come in. There's two men from Arton's regiment, Cantlow and Steele.
Old agitators.
And?
They've heard a rumour.
What?
That we're all to be sent to die in Ireland.
Ireland?
Yes, if the plague in the bogs don't finish us off, the wild Irish will.
We won't go to Ireland. We told them that clearly enough last year.
No, they say it's certain that they'll pretend drawing lots, but that the regiments have already been chosen.
Us.
And all the rest of the regiments who stand up for soldiers' rights too, you can bet.
Yeah. I were Cromwell, that's what I'd do.
We have no quarrel with the Irish. Let them live and worship as they please in their own land. To march there to burn and kill at the mere behest of our officers would be mercenary murder, and the Lord would have none of it.
Well, that's not the sort of army we are.
Or ever have been.
Steele and Cantlow think it's time to choose new agitators to make our voices heard again.
Yeah.
So do I. Are they still there?
Yeah, in the room upstairs.
Let's go and meet them.
That's where we should be tonight. At the Whalebone with Lilburn's bellowing army. Their only weapon is noise.
I never thought you'd hear them from my lodgings.
You can hear them all over London, I should think. Even at Whitehall, if they have the casements open.
I'd love to be a spider in the corner.
Listening to what Cromwell's saying tonight.
Cromwell doesn't have spiders. His good wife takes the broom for him.
That'll be Reynolds.
About time. You can come in, John. There's no one here but the two of us.
So much for Oliver's decrees. You see soldiers and civilians in earnest discussion on every street corner.
Well,
Bray's appeal to Parliament has been rejected.
What have they done with him?
Sent him off to prison at Windsor.
Is he to be tried?
Nothing was said about that. They gave him very short shrift. It's my bet that they'll keep him there.
Forget him?
Yes.
How did he take it?
How would you?
We have to do without him.
He'll be in prison till we let him out. One good thing, though. His troop have been drafted into my regiment.
Ah.
They're good men, some of the most radical in the army.
Which brings us to the point, Colonel.
What point?
Well, for instance, why are we meeting here?
I think we know why.
I'm sure we do. I have been cashiered and commanded my own regiment this summer, as you did. Major White is the hero of Chelmsford. There are no better three men for the job.
If we need or dare to do it.
We must do it. Whatever happens, there's going to be a fight. Just listen to that noise. The only question is, will it be a rabble with skirmishes in the street?
In which case the soldiers will lose.
Or will it be organized?
By us.
We're not alone. I could name plenty who would join us.
Officers. Never mind the officers. How many men?
Cornet Thompson has a secret list. There are perhaps 30 or 40,000 under arms, but many of them are scattered around the country and will play no part either way.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson thinks we might rely on 10,000.
Which means they could outnumber us 2-1, with Cromwell and Fairfax in command.
We do better than that. Some of the best regiments, Scroop's and Horton's, for instance, are with us to a man. When other soldiers see that, they will follow.
We must look at the whole business very coolly, not move till we are certain.
They'll never be certain.
If it's going to happen, it will be soon, within weeks. One more fiasco like today.
Are you still as close to Cromwell as you were?
Of course I am. It's too good a contact to lose.
What's his plan?
That I don't know. He uses me for his own purposes. He tells me what he wants me to know, not what I want.
Whereas he gets everything from you.
What does that mean?
Nothing more than what it says. You're an old friend, and I trust you with my life. But you see more than the rest of us from a different angle. I'd like to know that you're as convinced as we are.
Yes, I am convinced. I see the soldiers on the move like a great stone beginning to roll down a mountain. I don't think anything will stop them.
And so we three, we climb on the stone and ride it down
so that it doesn't crush everybody on the way.
What I did manage to pick up in Cromwell's chamber was a list of the disposition of all the regiments currently in London. Come over to the candle and look.
Landlord!
Oh, morning, Cornet Thompson. Hardly recognise you in your gentleman's clothes. Is that Major White?
Have you seen my brother?
Not much late, sir, seeing as he's a water drinker these days. But he did come in about an hour ago with that gentleman name of Everard.
I know Everard. Cashier from the Lieutenant General's regiment 2 years ago.
They went away together, sir.
Do you know where?
As a matter of fact, I do, sir. You know those old wooden warehouses down by the river, between Fishmonger's Hall and the old Swan?
Yeah, a rat's nest infested with beggars.
Gone there, sir. To make that gaunt-looking chap comes in here sometimes.
Come on, Francis. Thank you, landlord.
Welcome, sir.
Does the wind stand in this way? One strong wind will blow the whole lot into the river.
No, no. We have a shed at Cobham. Our army is here.
Your army, aye? Beggars make good fighters. These are derelicts, madmen, drunk.
Save me, Jesus! Save me now!
Can't do it today, friend. I'm too busy. Ask me again tomorrow.
There are no devils in hell. Only rats. They had a child last night.
We are not with these. There's a warm, dry corner over there. A storeroom. We have our meetings there.
Here on.
Come in, brothers. Welcome.
This is Captain Thompson.
We have met before. This is your armor, yes, Brother Gerard. Half of them women. The others don't look as though they could lift up a pike between them. Women are children of God. And we are all strong enough to lift a spade. You see how we are arming ourselves for battle? We have 8 good spades, 2 axes, some cooking pots, no blankets, 2 threadbare for anyone else. And we shall not freeze or starve.
You can't fight a battle with spades.
They are the only weapon, brother, if you want to win. You will never conquer with a sword. For Christ, who is the head leveler, fights only with the sword of love.
But there is another sword. Of justice and retribution.
Justice is of Christ. You cannot hold it in your hand. It will speak in its own time.
And when will that time be?
How much longer do we wait?
Waiting is a blessed state. But the morning of action is at hand.
Yes, I think so, too.
They have told us that we will not see the kingdom of heaven till we are dead. But I say we shall see it here with the materialized of the flesh. The common treasury of earth is an inheritance to all, and in laboring together will the kingdom be made visible to men's eyes.
But how? How will the kingdom be made visible?
There is my friend William Everard. And there are these other good friends of mine, my brothers Henry, William, John, and the lesser John, and my sisters Elizabeth and Betty and Patience and Joan, and others to the number of 20. We shall go up into the commons and waste places with our tools and dig and plant there and live together in community and love.
Is that all?
No, no. That's only the beginning.
What will you do, you captains with swords in your hands? What will you do for the labouring men of England who shiver and starve at every lane's end? You will throw down one council of soldiers to put another in its place.
Oh, I shall tear them all down, that's what I shall do. Every man who has put his foot on the faces of Englishmen will feel my sword in his guts. What good will you do, digging up the waste?
People will come to us from all over England. We shall grow and grow till we become a great army of the poor.
But when? Because I can't wait. Not 6 months, not three.
There will be no army.
No army? Then why are we wasting our time? I came here because Everard told me you were raising a great army of the poor to fight for justice.
I have never said that.
But it must be an army in the end. It must be.
Good Christ, give me patience.
How else shall we defend what we have sown together when the soldiers come? In the end, there will be so many of us that we will drown the whole nation in blood.
There will be no bloodshed. I have been in battle and I have seen men's blood on the ground. I shall never see it again.
Until it's your own. Why am I wasting my time here? You're as threadbare as the rest of these poor devils and you can't even agree among yourselves.
I have seen the vision. I have seen Jerusalem in the fields of Cyrus.
Brother, I meet a dozen of you every day, crouched in the gutters of every street in London, sitting there with eyes like glass, crying out how you speak with Jesus every morning and whore with a virgin every night. Everard, you should come with me. You belong more with me than with these fools. You get back to your spade, Brother Gerard, because I want men who will stand up for themselves, not bury their noses in a mockery.
You have understood nothing.
Did yourself good, Christ!
We shall all share the fellowship of earth, then, brother.
That is for certain. But it's what a man does before he's buried that counts. Come on, Everard.
Wait a minute. Listen.
Listen, I've heard enough.
Let it be soon, Brother Gerard. The day of community and love.
Very soon, Betty. The 1st of April. When God blesses the fields with flowers.
Where will it be?
On a waste hill in Surrey. Near to my coward shed. Why are you in tears?
Tears of joy, brother. So we are to begin God's good work.
They do not look like tears of joy.
I was a married woman once. I had children.
Are they dead?
No, no. I saw them yesterday. They didn't see me. Oh, they are sturdy and well, full of life.
Perhaps, sister, you should be with them, not with us.
No, I want to be with you, to dig and plant the earth in community more than anything else in the world.
There he is, Will.
Hello, Brother Jim. Has Scroope drummed you out yet?
Not yet.
What do you want with me for?
I brought a friend to see you.
Is he afraid of the plague? He's so wrapped up. I can only see his eyes.
Major White.
Your friend, not mine.
Captain Thompson.
Why do you want to see me?
Because I remember what you did for us in the past, and I'm sad to see you unemployed.
I'm not unemployed. You don't see everything that happens in the city, Major. There are one or two places where a gentleman's eye never comes.
Be that as it may, there are ways a determined man can make himself useful.
Useful? God in hell! Who wants to be useful?
Blaspheme, sir.
When I act,
I shall be more than useful. I shall be a scourge. I shall whip the rich men and the lawyers and the churchmen raw. I shall take away the England they have stolen and give it back to the people. That's how useful I shall be.
Keep your voice down. There are spies everywhere.
Oh, of course. There are. Major White. Royalists, Presbyterians, Irish, Scots, Frenchmen and Olivers. Mercenary place seekers, too, I don't doubt. What do I care about them? Let them take their wages and be murdered in some back alley. No one doubts William Thompson's motives. I shall overturn them. I shall bring them all down. I have sworn it.
Sir, you must speak low, or I must leave you.
I know what you've come for, Major White.
You need not be so contemptuous. We are all committed to the same cause.
No, brother, we are not. My feet are planted in the mud. I lodge with the destitute and the starving. I get my soldiers from the kennel and the sewer. Not the panel chambers of Whitehall, where all you gentlemen revolutionaries swear faith to each other's estates.
Very well, sir. Good day to you.
I have 10 men, Major White, sworn to die before they will live under tyranny.
10 men, sir? You're a lunatic.
And each one of those will find 10 more, and those 10 another, and another. Remember that, you snivellers, when you meet me in the field at the head of 10,000. Don't come trying to join me. Because you won't be welcome!
Your brother's a maniac. We must have nothing more to do with him.
Hold!
What's happening? What time is it? Oh.
Give me a kiss, Lizzie.
Go on to the children. Tell them not to be frightened and trust in the Lord. Oh, once again.
Dad! Those soldiers! They just went straight past me!
Don't be afraid, Abigail. It's me they want, not you.
But why do they come so early, sir?
Because they're ashamed to do it in broad daylight when people can see them.
John Lilburn!
I've never failed to answer that name yet, sir.
In the name of the Commonwealth and Parliament of England, by order of the Council of State, I arrest you for treason.
In the name of all those high authorities, sir, what you're doing is against the common law of England. I have committed no treason, and in peacetime I'm not liable to be arrested by soldiers.
I have the power to compel, Mr. Lilburn.
Oh, yes, sir, I know. Without the law, you have nothing else. Is anyone else arrested?
Overton, Walwyn and Prince.
Ah, so we shall all meet for breakfast like the good friends we are. Well, give me 5 minutes to dress, officer. I shall join you in the street. May I ask you to bring no more soldiers into my rooms for fear of frightening my children?
Very well, sir. You have 5 minutes. The house is surrounded, sir. Don't try to deceive us.
I've never deceived anyone in my life, Captain. Particularly a soldier with a drawn sword in his hand.
Very well, sir. Okay.
All right, all right. John.
Don't cry, Lizzie. Don't let him see you cry. We're in the Lord's hands.
Why must you always be in the Lord's hands? Why can't you ever stay in mine?
Brothers and sisters, it is clear dawn. There is the sun's rim breaking the eastern hill, and the birds singing all around the wide heaven to welcome us. The day of God is breaking upon the earth.
Amen.
We are his chosen people. And this George's Hill in the county of Surrey is the place he has chosen. This is more than the dawning of the first day of April in the year of Jesus, 1649. It is the kingdom of heaven building on earth, spring in the hearts of men. Now we have shelters to build, store places to find. But to begin, brothers and sisters, to mark the breaking of the day of God on earth, dig, brothers and sisters, dig for the love of God and man. Dig and sing.
Noble diggers all, stand up now, stand up now. You noble diggers all, stand up now. The way from to maintain, being gravel is my name. Your digging load is aim, and blessing will be fame. conquer them, my love, come in now. To conquer them, my love, and it does you behold. For he is king above, no power is like love. Glory here, diggers all, glory here, glory here. Your houses, they fall down, stand up now, stand up now. Your houses, they fall down, stand up now.
In England's New Chains, Part 10 of God's Revolution by Don Taylor, Cromwell was played by Bernard Hepton, Fairfax by Nigel Anthony, White by Graham Blockie, Reynolds by Kim Wall, and John Church by Eric Allen. Syndicombe was John Badley, Winstanley, Steve Hodson, Everard, Jonathan Nibbs, Lockyer, Peter Craze, and Ireton, Bill Wallace. James Thompson was Simon Cuff, William Thompson, Anthony Jackson, Lilburn, Christian Rodska, and Elizabeth Lilburn, Maureen O'Brien. Penelope was Deborah Makepeace, Betty, Zela Clark, Mary Overton, Barbara Kellerman, Wally, John Hartock, and Wildman, Stephen Rashbrook. God's Revolution, Part 10, was directed in Bristol by Ronald Mason.
To conquer them, my love, and it does you behold. For he is king above, no power is like love. Glory here, diggers all.